Praise the Lord. We give God praise for all of you that are joining us. This Present Truth is on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful that you have brought us back once again for a brief study into the Word of God. Thank you, Lord God, for opening the Scriptures to us. We're trusting that you will give us understanding, that you will help us by your Spirit, and Lord, most of all, that you would impart life to each one of us, knowing that that is the quality of your word. It brings life to every situation. Even that which is dead, life can resurrect it. Cause your life, Lord, to affect each one of us to where we'll never be the same. Thank you, precious Lord. We give you praise. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. We thank God for all of you that are joining us. We began to share from our last episode, the importance of understanding the new creation life. And I would like to draw your attention to a passage in Colossians chapter 3 and just share a little more on its importance, the new creation and its importance. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 1. And our goal is to get to verse 10 and possibly verse 11. I'll start with the New King James. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, King James, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3, very important. The pivotal verse in this entire chapter, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Then if you go down with me to verse 10 or verse 9, he says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, here it is, and have put on the new man. This is the new creation. Put on the new man. And what about this new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him? It's important to see, brothers and sisters, that this new creation is a different life. It's a different life. It's not the natural life that we see lived out today. It's a supernatural life. It's Christ's life living in and through the individual. It's not the natural man, Adam, struggling to do what's right. No. He says, put to death. He says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, as this third chapter opens, we know that the Bible wasn't written in chapters, but we see an aim that the writer is pointing at, if you will. First, he begins by addressing those who have been raised with Christ. These are not new believers, even though new believers have been raised with him through burial and through baptism. But those who he's addressing are those that have embraced the new creation and have died. Now, if you've been raised, it already presumes that you died, because the nature of what we understand about the Lord Jesus Christ is death, burial, resurrection. You can't get to the resurrection without a death. So he begins by saying, if you've been raised, and then in verse 3, he reminds them, for you died. Now, the emphasis here on those who have been raised is, again, the aim of their life. Seek those things which are above, not on things on the earth. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. He says, if you've been raised, this is your focus, things above, not things on the earth. So this is how we're able to assess the spiritual development of those that are in Christ. Because If you've been raised, you seek the things which are above. And then secondly, verse 2, set your affections, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Why is this so important? For you died. The old man died. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have what? Passed away. They died. Old things, including the old life, the old man, and the old nature, died. Did it? Was that your experience? Or did you just start going to church trying to figure it out? If nothing happened to you, you're not born again. If you just started going to church and Christ has not come in and this new creation has taken residence, nothing happened to you. You may have wanted something to happen, but if he's living, here's the proper response. You seek different things. You set your affections on different things. Why? You died. I think there's a good question to ask here. Have you died? You might say, well, when Jesus died, I died. That's wonderful. But is that your experience? That might even be a reality. But did it happen to you? He says, and your life is hidden with Christ and God. When Christ, who is our life, notice, he's your life now. When he appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, what makes that happen, Pastor? A death. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So the child of God lives a hidden life behind the Lord Jesus Christ, who has now taken up residence. Christ begins to live. We understand this in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, how do I live it, Paul? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the life that I now live is Christ who's living in me now. He's living. I died. Christ is living. Without a death, he cannot live. This is what the religious world has not understood. And I have friends of mine that haven't understood this. And I'm thankful to God that in mercy, he brought me into this understanding. That if you just started going to church, that does not save you. Now, we know this in theory, but the reality is, if you're trying to live a spiritual life in the natural, good luck with that. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You can't train a bird to become a fish. It's just not their nature. You can't train them through instruction. No, the nature is different. So it's important to understand that in Christ, those who confess and profess to know Christ carry his nature. It's not a sinful nature. It's not an accident prone, oh, I stumbled into sin. That's not the nature of the life. That's what we see in those who are religious. That's because they're in deception. Their eyes have been blind. They can't see the truth. Now, the point that I want to make, brothers and sisters, today with the Lord's help, is he mentioned something in verse 10 that I want us to see. But first in verse 8, he says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. And because verse 3 has happened, for you died, now you can put off all these things. Only a dead man can put off the nature. If you haven't died, you won't be able to handle any of these that we mentioned. Notice, when Christ, who is our life now, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. Now, we just got instruction to not mind the things of the earth as our aim. He says, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on not on things on the earth. Now, he says, put to death your members which are on the earth. then he mentions the things that our members lock into. Our members is that Adamic nature and the residue of that life. Look it. He says, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Notice, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Now, what this shows, brothers and sisters, is that these people might think they're in Christ, but the way God sees them is that they're sons of disobedience. You might be familiar with these lives: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. So a covetous man is an idol worshiper, even if he goes to church, even if he stands and mounts the holy desk and preaches. This is a life that you cannot just come out on your own. Sorry, good luck with that. You can't just say, okay, I ain't doing this no more. It's your nature, sir. It's your nature to sin against God. It's your nature to see others instead of your wife. It's your nature to not go home on the regular, because the old man is still resident. As long as he lives, unrighteousness will produce out of your life without you even wanting it to. That's the nature and the life that you carry. The life that you carry is the nature that you have. And the nature that you have is the life that you carry. You can't separate them. One is natural, one is spiritual. Which have you decided on? The natural life is normal. We're all born in that nature, and it's easy and convenient to follow its dictates. It's not all bad. There's some good things about the Adamic nature. There might be, but God doesn't accept it any longer. The only life that God accepts is Jesus. Hallelujah. The life of Christ. And if you don't have it, my brother, it's unfortunate for you, especially when you transition. So here he says, you yourselves are to put off these things. Now, because of a death, you can. Once that old man has died, now you can do the things that he's talking about here in verse 8. Put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. My God, the Lord has to help us. He says, put off these things. In verse 5, he says, put to death your members, which are on the earth. You come down to verse 8, he says, but now you yourselves are to put off these. And he mentions some other things. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. If you're used to not telling truth, if you're used to lying, if you're used to exaggerating the facts, it's a lie. He says, put it off now, because he says, you have put off the old man with his deeds. I want to ask, have you put off the old man? Then your deeds will continue. And I know you may have had an epiphany. You may have heard God speak to you. You may have come under conviction. But the nature of temptation doesn't warrant an experience with God. It just doesn't. It doesn't point to it, brothers and sisters. If you haven't repented, then it's not out of your life. So I want to admonish you. Verse 8, you yourselves are to put off these. Because you've died, now you're in Christ, you can put off things like anger without an anger management class. You can put it off because it's something that you put on. But now you're in Christ. You've put off these things and now have put on Christ. Do you see this? Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10, here we go. And have put on the new man. Now, what is it that's distinct about the new man? Who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This is a different person. This is not some dude that just keeps fumbling through life and making the same mistake over and over again, and then you repent, and then you go to therapy, and then, you know, all these things. No, no, no. Erroneous. It's not the new creation. The new creation doesn't struggle with habits. The new creation doesn't struggle with addictions. No, that's not the new creation. As a matter of fact, that's Adam. Adam struggles with everything. Adam gets involved in everything and always needs help in deliverance. That's because Christ's life is absent in that heart. You may have made commitments, New Year's resolutions, but Mr. Flesh, the old man, still rules and sits on the throne of your heart. And it's a constant struggle. You want to talk about mental health is real? Yeah. Not being able to conform to God's standard. Yes, it will affect you mentally when you don't have the truth, when you don't understand the word of God. Yes, all the surrounding things that the world system is highlighting, anxiety, all these things. Yes, it will attack you because it attacks those that live in the natural, in the natural. Jesus lived in a physical body and didn't deal with depression. He didn't deal with the stuff that we're dealing with. Brothers and sisters, he showed us how to effectively live the life that he died to give us. What's manifesting out of your life? Struggles? Inner defeats? Things that are controlling you that you can't be free from? People try to hide it. You can't hide if you're on drugs. You can't hide that. You can't hide if you're stuck on something. If you're addicted to something, no, it's better to face it and say, Lord, you got to help me with this. I've met my match. I can't overcome without grace. Lord, I need you. Brothers and sisters, you have to put on the new man. Why? Because he's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created you. That the new man, the new creation, is constantly being renewed with a different kind of knowledge and understanding. That's not churchy. It's not religious. No. It's not church activities without your heart. No. That's the religious life. The religious life says, serve God, do all this stuff. Just don't do it with all your heart. And we have a command that there's a certain way to love God that's mentioned in Deuteronomy. When you love God, you're required to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all that is in you. You're supposed to love God that way. But we love other things more than God. So that's what we express towards those things. We give those things our all. Maybe you're an entrepreneur and you've given your entrepreneurship all. But if it doesn't have Jesus, you can get rich and wealthy and still die and go to hell. What did you accomplish? Since you rolling and got rims on all your cars, wonderful. But when you died, where did you land in eternity? Is that not important? If it's not, then go ahead, live it up. Do your own thing. Lie to people and tell them, man, don't worry about that stuff. Man, get yours, get the money. That's what they're telling people. Even in church, get the money. Pastor, get the money. No, no. Get Jesus. Get Christ and his life. Then you won't chase all that stuff because he himself, he's sufficient to handle whatever we face. My brother, my sister, what about you? Are you being renewed in this new knowledge about Christ, or are you, you're still corrupted by the old nature? You're still trying to work it out? You know, be patient. God ain't finished with me yet, not knowing God probably hasn't started because you haven't surrendered your whole life. It's a full surrender, sir, that God requires, not some little fake commitment that you walk down the aisle and sit in a big captain's chair because you just gave your life to Christ. And all you confess something with your mouth or whatever, but nothing happened on the inside. You went back to that sin. You went back to that live-in situation. You went back to that which doesn't please God. What did you accomplish there? How's that working out for you? It's difficult, isn't it? You have to come out of one in order to step into the other. You have to take off one way of living and put on this new way of living. Now, many are deceived in the racial issue. Many are standing with their race. Many are saying, I'm taking a racial position. If you keep reading, the scripture's going to shatter that. It's going to shatter it. Because you could be black, white, red, yellow, and doesn't matter to God. If your heart is wicked, sir, you're not going to make it. You could be black and wicked. You could be Mexican and wicked. You could be Asian of any descent, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, and be wicked. Doesn't matter to us, but it matters to God. So which are you? He says, in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free. But listen, Christ is all and in all. You say, wait, Christ is in everybody. No, he's talking to believers. He's not talking to worldly people that just happened to come that Sunday and hear this. No, this was written to children of God, to the saints at Colossae. That's who it was written to. My brother, my sister, let me read this in another translation to help you kind of resolve this issue. Because I know when you start talking race, you got to be careful because people, you know, tell you ain't black no more. He ain't black no more. Yes, he is. He just don't fit the build that you want him to be. So then we start dissing each other because they're not who we want to make them. No, they're not. And I pray that you don't make them. Verse 9, I'm reading out of the Living Bible. He says, don't tell lies to each other. It was your old life with all its wickedness that did that sort of thing. Now it is dead and gone. What is that life is, or at least it should be, dead and gone, evacuated because you died. Verse 3, you died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Notice he says, you are living a brand new kind of life that is continually learning more and more, listen, of what is right. Now, how many of us are daily learning more and more about what is right as opposed to what we're going to do that we know is wrong? That's a nature issue. It's a nature issue. Your nature drives you to do what you do. You're a product or a victim of the nature that you carry. If it's the old man, he must be evacuated if this new life that we're talking about is coming forth. Now, he says in the Living Bible, verse 11 says, in this new life, don't be mad. This is what the scripture is saying. I'm reading this. We have our sacred cows. We want to hold on to a certain beliefs. I hope God shatters this in Jesus' name. Listen, in this new life, one's nationality or race or education. Uh-oh, you could have a PhD or a master's. And it doesn't matter. Social position is unimportant. Let me read it again. In this new life, one's nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. He says, such things mean nothing. Whether a person has Christ is what matters, and he is equally available to all. That's real simple, brothers and sisters. The new life is not one's nationality or race or education or social position. To God, it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter to God. Because it doesn't matter. If God uses a person, he's got to bless them and raise them up in order to use them. So they're not broke, busted, and disgusted while they're preaching. No. No. That's a false thing that has perpetuated throughout the land. That God's men and women are supposed to be broke with nothing, locked up in a monastery somewhere with somebody just bringing them food while they... No. Sorry. There are those that do that. We commend them if they've given their life to that nature, to that kind of study. Wonderful. I hope you're born again. But in this new life, this brand new life that you're living, you're constantly learning more and more of what is right. And he says, trying constantly to be more and more like Christ, who created this new life in you. So a couple things, brothers and sisters, that we see here. First of all, Christ's life is a brand new way of living, and you don't know anything about it already People who go to church present Christ's life like they've lived it for so long. They know how it works. Oh, no. Oh, no. I doubt very seriously if we've delved deeply into understanding Christ's life, the new creation. Some don't even know it's in the Bible. Some don't even know that this kind of life is possible. So a life of sin stays consistent because you can't get free from it anyway, right? As long as we live in a physical body, we're going to struggle with sin. Who lied to you, sir? Somebody lied to you. Somebody did not present Christ's life to you in the proper fashion. You heard a partial gospel. And you responded by confession of, confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. But if you went back to that same life, I'm sorry, nothing happened to you, my brother, my sister. You're going through this religious circle, trying to find the truth, trying to discover what's going on, like I was lost, claiming light, and yet not able to live it out on a daily basis. I'll tell you what was omitted, the cross. I tell you what was omitted, what Jesus did on the cross and our understanding of how to tap the life that Christ died to give us. I'm almost willing to wager there wasn't a thorough study on the born again experience. So I want to stop here. I want you to understand that when you put on the new man, you're putting on someone that's been renewed in the knowledge of God who created that life to function in the first place. The Lord Jesus Christ died to give us the life that he lived victoriously while here on the earth. He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down of my own accord, because if I didn't lay it down, you wouldn't be able to kill me. As a matter of fact, when you do kill me, in 3 days, I'm going to raise myself up again. He told the religious leaders, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, what will I do? I'll raise it up again. He said it took over 40 some years to build this temple. And what did he say? They didn't know that he was talking about his own body. He said, I have the power to lay it down and have the power to raise it up again. That's why Jesus in Matthew 28 said, all power has been given unto me. Now you guys can go and make disciples of the nations. Because I died, that life is what I imparted to you, and that's what I want you to impart to others. My brothers and sisters, in closing, what are you imparting to other people? Religion? Are you inviting them to your religious habitation and your religious way of doing things? You're just corrupting them. All you're doing is corrupting that life that may have come into Christ sincere and genuine, and you brought them into this religious habitation, as I did for so many years, that now we're just now able to give people the truth and share with them the reality of Christ's life, not some religious life that doesn't work when you need it, when you get in trouble. I would like to pray for us today. Trust God for you to go back and study this out on your own. Hopefully the Holy Spirit can bring some things into your understanding. I want to admonish you to read these passages in various translations so that the Holy Spirit can reveal it. Specifically what he's saying to you. You are living a brand new kind of life, child of God. You're continually learning more and more of what's right. And it's constantly, this life is trying to be more and more like Christ who created it. The objective of the new creation is to be like Jesus. It's not to get the microphone or to get a large church or a big, massive ministry. No. It's Christ and him crucified. Paul said that when I came, I didn't preach all these other things. I could have. But there was one thing that I preached. I preached Christ and him crucified. My brother, before you mount the pulpit next week, this coming Sunday, who are you preaching? Most people nowadays are preaching themselves so that people will listen to them because they're educated or they got, you know, some education or social position. He says here, that's unimportant. So even if you got a master's or a PhD, we're not impressed. You could still be a spiritual baby and can't stay married. Can't find somebody to be with a PhD, with a master's degree, all those years of school, you're a doctor. You got a doctorate degree, all those years of school, and still have never met the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you help us today, that you help us to consider these passages. And those, Lord, who maybe throughout their encounter never died to self. God's greatest enemy is the self life. Lord, you've helped us to overcome Satan as we've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the world system, if we're renewed, if our minds are renewed, we can overcome even that. But Lord, this last enemy, self, has us paralyzed because it's the outworking of the life that we carry in Adam. Please, Lord, deliver us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the new creation and teach us things concerning the new creation life. I'm trusting you to do that, Lord. I know there's a veil over the hearts of so many when they open the scripture or read Moses. A veil covers their heart. But in Christ, when they turn to him, the veil is taken away and they're able to get a revelation of who he is. I pray that that happened with each one of us. I pray that we encounter him afresh, Lord, that we encounter you afresh, that you manifest yourself to us afresh, and that we see the importance of the new creation. Thank you for helping us, Lord. We give you praise, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. My brother, my sister, that's all the time we have for this episode. I trust that you'll join us again on next week. We're going to be going into the family in the next couple episodes, maybe for the month of October. We're going to be shifting and going into the family structure and things related to the family as the Lord is helping us. And I hope to have, by God's grace, my wife, Pastor Kathy, joining me on the next episode when we begin to discuss the issues concerning the family and that which God has revealed out of the scripture concerning the family. That's all the time we have for this episode. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. This Present Truth is signing off. By God's grace, we'll see you next week. God bless you.